We're going to start actually not in John 11. We're going to jump to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I put a little teaser on Facebook, you know, for folks to come hear it. And I'm trying to let me look it up and see what I said exactly on there. I said something about Bible study. Ah, here we go. I probably could have found it faster than I could. I'm old and slow. Getting older and slower by the day. Oh, I apparently have memories to look back on with Emily Ogden. Yeah, she's my daughter. So, okay. So, I said, are you tired? Feel defeated, frustrated, or burnt out? Tonight, you can get permission to stop trying. Luke chapter 10. So I thought maybe some folks would come to hear that. So if you're not here, if you're hearing this message later, this is permission for you to stop trying. So this is what God is saying to us tonight through His Word. So let's jump right into Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. All right, so we're just going to look at those four verses. Sorry, five verses. My math is not real solid tonight. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. All right, everybody there? Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So this is instrumental in our service of the Lord. And when I say our service of the Lord, I don't just mean those of us who are quote-unquote occupational or have ministerial positions. I mean, every one of us serves the Lord. Every one of us as a Christian is called to serve the Lord. And it's instrumental as we go through life, because there's some principles that we're going to see in this passage that will really help us to put perspective on some things. I made some observations about this passage, and I want to start off with some maybe obvious ones. Look in verse 38. Now, what's happened is Jesus has sent out the 72. He sent out the disciples, gave them specific instructions. They came back to him. They were rejoicing. He then tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then they are traveling. And they're traveling around Jerusalem. Bethany is where they're staying, this little village that we see in verse 38, which is the village named for Mary. It's the village of Mary and Martha. It's 2 miles from Jerusalem, so he doesn't have to stop there. It's 2 miles. They can just keep walking to get to Jerusalem if that's where they're going. But the first thing I want us to see, the first observation, is that Jesus came to them. God comes to us. He picked out this village. Mary and Martha had no idea, I'm sure, that Jesus was coming to their house. I mean, it's not like he could have sent them an email or even picked up the phone. They didn't. Amazingly enough, Hunter, they didn't even have phones with the cords on them back then. Jesus couldn't have called to tell them he was coming, but he came to them. He picked them out. He purposefully walked there. He turned off the main road and went to their house. And the first observation about this story and about our interaction with Christ is that Jesus does not need our permission to come to us. As a matter of fact, usually when God works in my life, it's those times when I'm not really seeking Him, and all of a sudden He goes, "Hey, you, come here." God will do something in my life. He'll do a work in me. He'll show me something through His Word. He'll bring conviction or repentance. And 9 times out of 10, it's not me that goes looking for it. It's God that drags me back to where He is. Mary didn't ask Jesus to come. Martha didn't ask Jesus to come. Martha welcomed Him into her house, but Jesus was coming there. And when Jesus is coming, He doesn't need your permission. He's going to do what He's going to do. The second observation is this. Martha welcomes him in the house. Mary comes when he arrives. Mary comes and sits at his feet, listens to his teaching. Martha is up serving. I see myself in, and I see a lot of Martha in me. And Tammy, I know that you have got to see this too, because if somebody's at your house or if there's a party or something going on, I mean, Tammy is the one. She's going to be up doing stuff. You know, that's just her thing. She's known for that. That's how she is. That's her gift. That's her heart. That's her personality. I'm the same way. I mean, I really like to entertain people. I really like to be hospitable to folks, and I love having people over and whatever it takes to, you know, to make the house presentable. And Martha, that's all she was concerned about. Jesus is coming. The disciples are coming with him. We don't know how many of these 72 are with him, but there's a crowd coming with Jesus. And she's like, I gotta get stuff ready. I can't have Jesus in a dirty house, right? Look, if Jesus is coming to your house, he doesn't need permission. And if Jesus is coming to your house, here's a second observation, it isn't because he's impressed by your house. Okay? Jesus is not coming to your house because it's the coolest thing he's ever seen. Jesus stepped out of heaven. In heaven, gold is pavement. In heaven, the greatest, most wondrous things that we can imagine are nothing compared to the sights and beauty that we're going to see in heaven. Your house is not going to impress Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you serve, how much you work, how much you do, how much you gussied up. You're not going to impress Jesus. He doesn't need your house. He doesn't need your stuff. He goes to this little village, in the middle of nowhere, outside of Jerusalem, and he picks their house because that's where he wants to be. So if Jesus is coming to your house, it isn't because your house impresses him or he needs your stuff, okay? Thirdly, what's Martha doing? Martha's serving. Which seems like that would be the right thing to do, right? And we're supposed to be hospitable. We're supposed to serve people. We're supposed to take care of people and all that. But Martha's doing all this work and staying busy. And Mary is doing nothing. I mean, nothing. Mary is just, she goes, sits at the feet of Jesus and just hangs out at the feet of Jesus. And lets Martha do her thing. Mary just is just hanging out. But Jesus didn't come to the house for Martha to serve him. How do I know that? Because of his reaction to Mary. Because remember, we're going to see this in just a minute. What Martha does is she immediately complains because Mary's not doing what she's doing, right? And sometimes we think that everybody needs to be doing the same thing for the kingdom that we're doing. I get really one-track mind about that sometimes. If you're not doing it my way, you're not doing it my timing, you're not doing it my program or my principle or my philosophy, you must not be doing it right. And that's not at all what Jesus is about. He's not about being served here. As a matter of fact, Matthew 20:28, Jesus says this, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life." It's a loose paraphrase of Matthew 20:28. You can look it up. You have my permission. Look, Jesus, you're not going to impress him with your service. You're not going to impress him by putting on a show for him. He's not going to be impressed by how clean your house is. You know, I could just imagine Martha, as soon as she sees Jesus at the doorstep, as soon as she knows Jesus is coming in, it's panic mode, right? You ever have guests just show up at your house unannounced, and you got stuff out, and you're not ready for guests, you know what I mean? Like, if y'all had showed up last night at this time versus tonight, or Tuesday at this time, there would have been a major activity going on right here. And I may not have opened the door, you know. I just may not have let you in at all. Just Lori just, "We're not here, go away." "Come back next here, kids." So you can imagine Martha and just scattering. But Jesus is God. And he's omniscient. And he knows where all the stuff is. And so Martha thinks she's being cool by sweeping stuff under the rug. And Jesus doesn't care because he already knows the stuff is there. You do not have to clean your house up before Jesus gets there. You don't have to clean your life up before Jesus gets there. Jesus knows the junk that's in your life. That's why he's coming to your house. He's not coming to your house so that you can clean it for him. He's coming to your house because he needs to be there. He's not coming, listen, he's not coming to watch Martha work. Jesus is coming so that Mary can worship. And when Jesus comes to you, he's not coming so that you can do stuff for him as if he needs your help. Jesus is coming to you because he wants your worship. He wants your presence. He wants you there. That's why Jesus is coming. He didn't come to see Martha work. He came to see Mary worship. Jesus knows. You don't have to clean up your house for Jesus. And the fourth and fifth observation are this. There's two approaches to how Jesus, to the response of Jesus showing up, okay? Look at the first one, and this is the one I unfortunately find myself most of the time being, and it's Martha. Okay, look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she wants to impress these folks. She wants everything to be just right. She's desperately afraid that people aren't going to like her, or that they're going to find her house unsatisfactory or insufficient, or that Jesus is not going to be impressed with her in some way. And she's distracted and she's anxious. She's anxious. There's so much work to do, she can't do it all. But what does she want to do? She wants to keep doing it. She wants to get it all done. She wants to enlist Mary to come help her. And we'll see in a minute. She basically yells at Jesus, "Tell her to come help me. There's too much to do." And that's the response I usually take. Work my way out of it, fight through it, solve the problem, enlist people, find resources, beg, borrow, steal, whatever it takes. I got to work the old NASA slogan. I got to work the problem, people, you know? And that's what Martha's doing. She's anxious. She desires to be applauded. She desires to be approved by the crowd. She desires for her house to be appealing. And on some level, all those things are okay, but that's not the best thing. And she's serving, and serving ought to be great. I mean, Pastor, I used to know, just say, you're never more like Jesus when you serve, and service is great, and we're supposed to serve. But listen, serving God is not always the best thing we can do. I know that sounds like heresy, but stay with me for a second. Because Martha wasn't serving Jesus for Jesus. Martha was serving Jesus for Martha. And I've been there, and I've done that, and I didn't get a t-shirt when I left. But I've been there. Martha is serving Jesus for Martha. Martha is concerned about Martha. Martha is concerned about Martha's house. Martha is concerned about Martha's stuff. Martha's concerned about, is this Martha Stewart? She's concerned about Martha's reputation. Martha is serving Jesus, but she's serving Jesus with selfish intent. And when we serve Jesus with a selfish intent or an ulterior motive, we're not serving Jesus. And it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. There are some times when we think we're serving God, we're really serving ourselves, that it really doesn't serve anything or serve anyone. She's distracted. The second thing that we see Martha doing is complaining. Again, verse 40. It says, "Lord, do you not care?" The gall of that statement, okay? "Lord, do you not care? Don't you care? Doesn't this bother you? Does anybody ever something just really bother them and you think, God, doesn't this bother you? If this doesn't bother, why don't you do something about it, God? If it bothers me, it's got to bother you, right?" And we kind of translate, like an anthropomorphism, that's a big word, especially for as tired as I am. We kind of transfer our feelings on to God. And God, you ought to do something about this. You ought to fix this. And we forget God is sovereign over all things. And the reason that whatever the issue is that we're dealing with is happening is because God has allowed it to happen. God's never taken by surprise. He says, "Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me." She immediately starts pointing fingers and comparing herself. to Mary. And she thinks she's going to compare herself to Mary, and Jesus is going to take her side because she's over here being busy, and all Mary's doing is just sitting at Jesus' feet. Right? And she gets the completely wrong, in her opinion, completely wrong response. She says, "Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone." You ever felt that way? God, I am the only person that's serving you. Everyone else has deserted you. God, I am the only one. I'm the only one that's faithful. So-and-so left. So-and-so has given up. So-and-so has deserted. So-and-so has gone and done their own thing. I'm the only one left. I got to be honest and admit something. There have been some Sunday mornings when it was us four and no more. But that's the first thought that ran in my head. God, I am the only one that still loves you enough to be here to serve. God, why don't you make them do... Why don't you give them a spiritual flick in the head, Jesus, whatever. I'm here to serve you. She's left me alone, Jesus. And Jesus is... He doesn't say this, and I don't want to ever put words in God's mouth, but I can just think, if it were me, and Martha had said that to me, Jesus would probably be like, "Well, you are serving alone because everyone else is on board with my program. Yeah, you're doing your own thing. You just keep on doing your own thing, Martha." Because we never serve God alone. When we're on God's program doing God's thing, we're never alone. The Holy Spirit is empowering that work in us. But if we're doing it in the flesh, yeah, you're serving alone. Martha was right. She is serving alone because she was doing the wrong thing. She's focused on herself. She's complaining. She's distracted. She's focused on herself. And that is always... You know, the love of money is the root of many kinds of evil, but the love of their self is the root of everything. All evil. All sin begins with a self-centered attitude. Always. Focus on self. Tell her to help me. You notice the wording there? Martha doesn't tell Jesus, "Tell her to help you. Tell her to serve you. Tell her to do something for you. Tell her to help these people, Jesus. Tell her to take care of the problems, Jesus." She says, "No, tell her to help me. Jesus, I've got a problem. You're not solving it. You need to get so-and-so to come help me with this problem." Because she's completely focused on herself. She's anxious. She's worrying. Why is Martha anxious? Martha is anxious because, and in Martha's opinion, the opinions of the people visiting her house were higher than God's opinion. Her priorities were higher than Christ's priorities. She's worried that people won't think well of her. She's worried that people will talk about her. She's worried that she will develop a reputation as a bad host, which in the Middle East and in India and South Asia and in Asian culture, about the worst thing you could possibly do is be a bad host. They're the most gracious people, the most hospitable people, because there's a sense of obligation in their minds that if someone comes into their home, you're to treat them well. And she's worried that all these people are going to think that she is somehow deficient. She's more concerned with the opinions of people than with the opinions of Christ. What else is she worried about? Well, she's worried that God won't meet her need. She's worried that all the work won't get done. She's worried that all the people won't get fed. Folks, Jesus fed 5,000 with no problem. He's going to take care of that household full of people easy, no problem. The work's going to get done. One of the things that really encourages me in the ministry is to know that God's work will get done. Even if I don't do it all, God's work will get done. All the people that are going to be saved are going to be saved. I will not stop that from happening. And God doesn't count on me to make sure it happens for everybody. So that's Martha's attitude. Anybody see themselves in Martha sometimes? Man, that is scary. If I had a T-shirt, you know, my other car is a Honda. You know, my other alias is Martha. You know, I am. That is me. Of course, in today's society, that probably wouldn't go over well.
I would in Target.
I could still use any bathroom in Target. All right, now let's look at Mary. We won't take nearly as long. Let's look at Mary for just a few minutes, because Mary is where we need to be. Mary is where we need to get to, and Mary is where I'm hoping that some of us here tonight, some of us hearing this message, that Mary is the person that I'm hoping that by His Holy Spirit, God will move us to. Let's look at Mary. So Martha greets Jesus, and she does all this work, and she gets nervous, she gets anxious, she gets upset, she gets selfish, she gets confrontational, she gets bossy. And then Mary does this in verse 39. And she had a sister, Martha, she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. Martha saw a need. Martha saw herself, her self-interests, and a sense of self-preservation. Mary saw the need, but Mary desired something more than to meet the need. Mary desired to be with Jesus. Martha's scurrying. Martha's panicked. Martha's freaking out. She's got a house full of people. She didn't have enough food, probably. She didn't know they were coming, most likely. Or if she did, it would have been really unusual. She certainly didn't know how many people were coming. Jesus has just invited Himself into her world, into her life, and she's trying to make it look right and work the way that she thinks it's supposed to work. And Jesus has invited Himself into Mary's life, and Mary just wants to come sit at Jesus' feet. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down." Those might be the most profound words of all the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm is rich and it's theologically deep. And "He makes me to lie down" may be the most profound words in that psalm, because a sheep doesn't lie down unless a lot of different things are happening. It's got to be fed. It's got to feel safe. It's got to feel comforted. It's got to feel like there is protection around it. It's got to feel like that its needs are going to be met. It's got to be free from disease. It's got to be free from insects. It's got to be free from strife. It's got to be free from worry. Sheep are incredibly, you've heard me say this over and over again, sheep are incredibly skittish animals. And to lay down for a sheep requires an incredible amount of trust in the shepherd. And one of the reasons I haven't been sleeping much is because I've had so many things on my mind, and I will not trust God enough to take those things and deal with those things so that I can just lay down in His presence, physically and emotionally and spiritually. He makes me to lie down. And God says in Psalm 46:10, that we'll be still. They, His people, will be still and know that He is God. Mary just wanted to be where Jesus was. She just wanted to sit down. Martha's trying to fix the whole world, and Mary just wants to sit down at Jesus' feet. And that's the better place. Be still and know that I'm God. Be at my feet. By the way, to be at Jesus' feet is to be at the lowliest place you could possibly be in relation to Jesus. All the good disciples, all the guys, you know, all the guys who were doing the work and were the big shots here in this deal, Judas, the treasurer, all those, they're at Jesus' head. They want to be where the place of prominence. They want to be sitting, you know, as James and John used to argue all the time, "Well, I want to, you know, we want to be at His right hand, and, you know, we want to be at the good spot." And the only spot left is His feet. imagine this house, which is certainly no bigger, or not much bigger than this living room, most certainly. And you've got dozens of people crowded around Jesus. And when they eat, they don't sit at a table and eat. They recline. They sit on the floor. There's this little table, a little coffee table, if you will. And they're all reclining on these cushions, all kind of, you know, in like an accordion, you know, all laying around each other. And everybody wants to be at Jesus' head. Everybody wants to be in Jesus' right hand. Everybody wants to be at the position of, everybody wants to be right where, you know, the focus of the power is. And the only place that Mary can be is at the feet of Jesus. That's the only place left. Nobody wants to be at the feet of the unclean place. The feet of the dirty place. The feet is a place of dishonor. You never want to be at someone's feet. It's still customary in the Middle East and in Asia and South Asia that you don't point your feet at people. If I'm sitting with my legs crossed and my foot's pointed at Gary, and that would be considered rude because the feet are unclean. As a matter of fact, when they want to ridicule somebody and they want to really get onto somebody and they really want to show disgust for someone, they take their shoe off and they throw it at them. Because nothing is more unclean than a foot. And that's where Mary is. She's at the feet. She's at the lowliest place. And she doesn't care because she just wants to be with Jesus. Anywhere near Jesus is good. Guys, I wish that we would all, including myself, be Spurgeon-esque in our discipline and spend hours a day in the Word of God and have a prayer closet where we can spend hours a day in prayer and deep supplication. I wish we could have the Lutheran, in reference to Martin Luther, the discipline to spend those hours a day in prayer and seeking God's face. But, you know, sometimes just anywhere with Jesus is good. You know, sometimes just any word from Jesus is good. And that's what Mary wants to do. She's not just there to be there. She's there, in verse 39, to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His teaching. And Martha is running around 100 miles an hour trying to fix stuff. And Mary is just sitting at the lowliest place she can. She just wants to hear Jesus. She just wants to hear His teaching. To listen to His teaching. And you can't listen, or you can't hear if you don't listen, and you can't listen if you don't stop running around 100 miles an hour. She desired to abide in the presence of Christ and the Word of Christ. And Jesus says this. This is so deep and so profound. Martha comes to Jesus. She says, "Do you not care that my sister..." Do you think Jesus cares? Jesus cares. "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do something. Tell her to help me." The Lord answered her in verse 41. This is the key tonight. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Martha, you got a lot going on. Martha, you got a lot of concerns, don't you? Martha, you got a lot of anxieties, don't you? Martha, you're really amped up, aren't you, Martha? Martha, I know you care about your house. And Martha, I know you care about these people. And Martha, I know you care about whether there's enough food. And Martha, I know you care whether I'm impressed with how well you're serving. And Martha, I know that you care about your reputation. And Martha, I know that you care about all these things. But Martha, you're anxious about so many things, but there's one thing that is necessary. And we don't have it spelled out for us in the Scripture, and we never want to point and to put things in the Scripture that aren't there. But I can just imagine that Jesus looks at Martha and says, "You're anxious about all these things, but one thing is necessary." Look right down here. "Look, Martha, right down at my feet. Look at your sister, the one you're upset at. Look at her. Martha has chosen the good portion," or Mary, rather, "has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Martha, you desired to do stuff for me. But But Mary just desired to be with me. See, especially in ministry, we get so caught up in doing stuff for God that we forget to be with God. And we forget that the good portion is not the things we do for the kingdom. The good portion is the fact that we're in the kingdom. The good portion is not the things that we can tell other people that we've done for Jesus, or the things that we're going to check off when we get to heaven. The good portion is not the crowns we'll get for evangelism, or the crowns we'll get for teaching, or the crowns we'll get for overcoming a particular thing, or for perfect Sunday school attendance, as if he's going to hand out pins when we get there. The good portion is to abide in the presence of Christ, because it is better to abide than to serve. As a minister of the gospel, as an ordained man, it is better to abide in the presence of Christ than it is to serve. As a man or a woman, as a child, as a teenager, it's better to be with Jesus than to try to do stuff for Jesus. And here's the key. You can abide without serving, but you cannot serve without abiding. You can't. How do I know that? Because I've done it. I've been there. You cannot serve. Martha thinks she's serving, but she's not abiding, and she's not accomplishing anything. The problems are not going away. She's just making herself more anxious. She's just working herself up. And here's Mary, who has all the same issues because it's her house too. And here's Mary, who just says, well, I'm just going to get to the feet of Jesus. I can't fix these things, so I'm just going to get to the feet of Jesus. I'll let Jesus take care of it. So tonight you have permission to stop trying to solve all the problems in your life, and to stop trying to fix all the God-sized issues that you have on your own ability, and to stop trying to make everything work out, and to stop trying to make your house clean for Jesus, and to stop trying to make everything perfect and make the environment conducive for God to work, and just be at God's feet. There's tremendous refreshment at the feet of Christ that's not found trying to do things for Christ. And are you saying that we're not supposed to share our faith? No. Are you saying we're not supposed to read our Bibles? No. That's what Martha's missing here, and then what Mary's doing. Mary is just at the feet of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, listening to Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is the one thing that is necessary. Everything else is details. The one thing in our lives that we do that will last for an eternity is to abide in the presence of Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will what? Bear much fruit. From doing what? Abiding. Stop cleaning stuff. I'm giving you permission tonight, okay? From the Word of God, I'm giving you the permission tonight. Stop cleaning stuff. Stop hiding stuff. Stop trying to impress Jesus. Stop trying to impress others. Stop trying to do God's work for Him. Stop trying to make other people do God's work, the work that you think they ought to do. Stop trying to make other people into your own image. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop doing stuff and get as close to Jesus as you can. And listen to Jesus' words. Be still and know. Lay down and trust. Rest in Him. I want to turn to one more verse and we're done. Matthew 11:28. First Gospel, 11:28. Listen to what Jesus says. And He's saying this, here's the context, He's saying this to those people who are trying to fulfill the law, to the Jews who are trying to be as good as the Pharisees want them to be. Everybody there? Matthew 11:28. Let's read this together. I believe this is for each of us tonight, especially for me tonight. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who labor," all who work hard. That's what that word labor means. All who are working ceaselessly, tirelessly, endlessly, and are heavy laden. You got a heavy load on you. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. This is what Mary is doing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's learning from Jesus. "For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think 99% of things that get done for the kingdom get done in the presence of Christ. In abiding in the presence of Christ and learning at the feet of Christ. And about 1% of things that get done for the kingdom get done because we try to do stuff for the kingdom. Martha was trying to do stuff. Mary just wanted to be at Jesus' feet. And Jesus has the audacity to say that Mary is the one who's doing the right thing. Mary's the one who's doing the right thing because she's just stopped trying to fix stuff and just rested at the feet of Jesus. So if that's you tonight, if you've got a million things on your head and a million things on your mind and a million things on your plate, I don't know what y'all's schedule looks like and what y'all's plate looks like. We had a slow week at work, and my plate never got emptied off. Will you just stop for just a moment? We're going to pray. We're going to spend some time at the feet of Jesus tonight. Will you just stop and just let Jesus speak to you through His Word? Let this Word that you've heard tonight sink in. Meditate on it. Let it sink in. Will you just lay your burdens down right there and sit at the feet of Jesus for just a minute and be still and know that He's God. We do that. Let's pray tonight. And I think you'll find peace there.